Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today. You've heard me talk about my dog Tucker a lot on this podcast, and it's hard to imagine our family now without the joy that this little field spaniel has brought to our daily lives. That's when we were approached about advertising Superfood Complete on the show, and I said, well, yes, of course. Actress Katherine Heigl has helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, and she is seeing more and more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about, feeding her dogs. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Dogs across America, just like my dog Tucker, are trying Superfood Complete and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to BadlandsRanch.com/Zabe and order right now to get up to 50% off your regularly priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience these incredible things, go to BadlandsRanch.com. That's BadlandsRanch.com/Zabe today. Summer concert season is almost upon us, and if you're heading out to a country show, it'll be all about the boots. With seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more, Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there is no in-store experience quite like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's tecovas.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges. And they ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today. Today, plausibly live, it's the ZabeCast.
No, we'll do it live! Fuck it! I'll write it and we'll do it live!
Today's guest, sports radio lifer and D.C. Jewish Sports Hall of Famer, Andy Pollin.
Uh-huh.
See?
And now, let's get to yakking.
Here we go!
It is maybe the most easy day of sports talk radio on the calendar. The Monday, Bracket Monday. Just pull out your bracket, Andy, and go ahead and start complaining about things. Oh my God, UConn got screwed. I can't believe so-and-so got snubbed. And it'll last about a day, and then there's another show on Tuesday, right?
Exactly. Well, and now it all gets confused with this midweek mishmash of the first four, the play-in, the Chazarai.
The Chazarai. Well, I'm sad to say, Andy, this is as good as the tournament will be in our lifetimes. In fact, this may be the last great tournament. I don't know when they can expand it, but have you been watching and listening to this asshat Greg Sankey? The SEC commissioner, the football guy, who's pretty much saying things like, well, we want to honor runs that teams like St. Peter's made, but at the same time, things are changing. What a dick. That's just very thinly veiled. Yeah, that was nice. Guess what? The big boys are going to come clawing back their money.
You know what I was thinking as I was watching the end of the neatly done one-hour show on CBS, which ended at 7 o'clock, how in 2016, when greed got the best of them and they tried to stretch it to 2 hours, somebody leaked the entire bracket. And we've gone, so that's why I think there's hope that they've gone back to what we've loved so much that Len DeLuca created in 1982. And maybe we can just erase these first four, go back to 64 that we love so much.
Oh, jeez, Andy. That is so not happening. I think it's going to be the struggle of our lives to keep it from getting stupid, from keeping it from ballooning to 80 and then 96 and then beyond.
And they say, oh, it's only another weekend. Yeah, I know, but we have... You know what? I was watching last night. I was watching Saturday night, the North Carolina NC State game. That was one of the best games I've seen in a long time. It wasn't a buzzer beater. Didn't go to overtime. NC State won by 8 points. And North Carolina, obviously comfortably in the tournament as a number one seed, all that. But this was actual basketball. You know how many threes NC State shot for the entire game?
How many?
14, and they made 6 of them.
And that's a reasonable number, says grumpy old man Andy.
Exactly, yeah. And they had this big guy named DJ Burns, who's 6'9", 275 pounds. He had some post moves. This guy, Baycott, who's been in North Carolina, like, seemingly since Phil Ford was there.
Right.
He backed him down in the paint, and he scored 20 points. I don't even know. It probably took about 10 shots. I mean, it was real basketball. And so, you know, you want to add that in. Okay, the conference tournaments, and then another weekend till we finally get to. And by the way, at the end of the show on CBS, all the experts picked the same Final Four with Connecticut winning.
Oh, really?
Yeah, at the end, you're going to probably get the. Now, last year we did have a very unusual Final Four. And we may have it again, but chances are we won't.
Yeah, well, I would say this year's bracket is as wide open, and that the earth is as flat as it's ever been in college basketball, right?
Well, it's because of the transfer portal. We don't know who's where, and you know whether they're staying for another year. I mean, it's sometimes you look at some of these games, you go, "Oh, he's playing there? I thought he was." Three schools ago.
Right.
He's still in college basketball? Yeah. Oh, my. I didn't know that. Yeah.
So you've got incredibly wide open bracket with an asterisk. And the asterisk is, yes, it's wide open, but who's going to beat UConn? Who's got everything that you need, including the big man, the Klingon, even though his name is Klingan. They have talent. They've got the experience from last year. They got the tough-nosed brother of Bobby Hurley. I love that story, by the way. I was telling my wife about it, driving to the folks' house over the weekend. I was like, yeah, remember Bobby Hurley? And she was like, oh, yeah, that scrappy little guy from Duke. I'm like, yeah, he had a brother. He has a brother. Yeah. And he wasn't as good at playing, but he's a phenomenal coach.
Yeah, well, the dad's the best coach. The dad was a high school coach and also a police detective, Bob Hurley.
A legend in New Jersey.
Right. And he had this team that practiced in like this, you know, gym that where the floor wasn't quite long enough.
Well, there was like 2 feet of space from the sidelines to the wall.
Yeah. And if he didn't like what was happening in practice, he'd kick somebody out, including his kids.
Right.
From time to time. Get the hell out of here.
Right. So as wide open and as flat as the college basketball earth is now, UConn is so head and shoulders above everybody. Who's going to beat them? The only thing you can maybe hang your hat on, and I listen to multiple shows say this, they feel like they got a unfairly salty bracket to go through with three other conference tournament champions, including Florida Atlantic, Ding, who was there last year in the Final Four. They brought 8 guys back. They didn't seem to have the same mojo early on, but they've kind of figured it out. Illinois, which boat raced Wisconsin today, and then Iowa State that destroyed Houston.
Yeah, but I don't know. I think you take that with a grain of salt. Because
I know. It's the only thing you can hang your hat on. Houston, the other one, one of the three, four, one seeds, was already going to be a popular short. They just were because they don't seem to be prime time, deep into the tournament, ready to win games. They can play great defense. They're athletic. But they were already going to be shorted. And so after getting blown to pieces in the Big 12 tournament final, the worst loss ever for a one seed in a conference tournament final, I think everyone's going to be shorting Houston, which maybe means bye. I'm like Jim Cramer. Bye, Houston.
Has Kelvin Sampson ever made a Final Four?
Yes, he has.
Oklahoma. I know he did the year Maryland. He takes you deep. And it used to be, but he's a cheater. Yes, but now everybody's a cheater, so it's okay.
Speaking of cheaters, so one of the Cinderellas in the field, McNeese State, they've won 30-plus games, one of only three teams to have won 30-plus. Head coach Will Wade's doing a great job there in his first year. I'm like, Will Wade? That Will Wade? And sure enough, Will Wade, the guy who was run out of LSU for all kinds of stuff, including a contract that got back renegotiated to take out certain bonuses. And they said, well, we can fire you without paying you if you're found guilty of a level one or level two violation. He was caught on the FBI wiretap, in which he described his exhaustion at trying to get a recruit to accept a monetary offer to play for him. He was saying, this is a strong-ass offer, and then went, I'll be honest with you, I'm fucking tired of dealing with the thing. Like, I'm just fucking sick of dealing with the shit. Like, this should not be that fucking complicated. He was suspended the very next day.
And now he could have a news conference and say, I wish this recruit would take my money.
Right, exactly. This was only in 2019 came out.
Yeah. It's 2 years. Look, that's Baycott. Baycott's been in college so long that he had to take under the table money.
Right. So Houston's going to be a popular short. Number one seed Purdue is going to be a popular short. They're kind of a team that is built. Yeah. They're built to blow it in the tournament. Edey gets calls in the Big Ten. Many people believe that when he gets to the tournament and they get these random crews assigned, they don't know how to handle them. And they actually call fouls on them. I think he's a tough guy to officiate because he's so big and yet so slow, you know?
Well, they got him playing in Indianapolis. I mean, you know, how much more can they do? Could Montana State or Grambling beat him? Yeah, why not? You know, we've seen St. Peter's and Fairleigh Dickinson beat him.
Yeah, Purdue got a pretty good draw. Some say the best, but Tennessee is still in the bracket, and Tennessee is one of my so-called power sleepers. They're not a sleeper, obviously, as a two seed, but they're not considered a traditional basketball power. So then you've got the other fourth one seed is Carolina. And Carolina on paper has everything. They've got Baycott, who you said has been there for a billion years. And yet they seem to me uninspiring. Maybe that's just the one game that I watched start to finish like you, which was Saturday night against NC State. But does this North Carolina team seem to inspire fear in opponents?
Well, I mean, they should, but, you know, again.
Does anybody these days?
Does
any team inspire fear? Like, is Duke and is Kentucky still relevant? No. Duke is going to be a Shortem kind of a team in this tournament, I believe.
Yeah. I mean, but they're coming in as a fourth seed, so it's not like.
No, I know.
Not like a usual Duke. I think Connecticut does. I think everybody looks at Connecticut and says, clearly, that's the best team in the tournament, and a hard-ass coach who even gets in fights with fans. I don't think he's going to let them get, you know, have a letdown. I just don't see it.
Wild cards include Marquette because of their point guard, Tyler Kolek, the reigning Big East player of the year. He's like Steve Nash with size, says Clark Kellogg. You've got matchup nightmares. Virginia got into the field by the hair on their chinny chin. They had four games in the 40s leading up to this, and they blew a big free throw that knocked them out of the ACC tournament. They play like they're asleep. They're so slow, and they cannot shoot free throws to save their life. Yet they will be a matchup nightmare. Texas A&M is a matchup nightmare. They are the number one offensive rebounding team in the country, and they will just pound the glass on offense like animals, and that's a tough team to prepare for.
Yeah. Virginia, I mean, you think about what they've done in the tournament in the two-year stretch where they lost to a 16 seed as a one and came back and won the whole thing the next year. And I think that's because of the way they play with that great defense. And if they have a night where they're just not hitting any shots whatsoever, they have no chance to win because they just don't play enough offense.
Yeah. Then you've got NC State, which is an incredible story, having won five games in 5 days. No team has ever done that in the history of the ACC tournament.
ACC.
And it was in the ACC tournament, no team has done that. And what's funny is that they used to call the first game of the front end of the expanded ACC tournament the Les Robinson Invitational in honor or in derision of the then head coach of NC State. Les Robinson. Yes. Yeah. And it was like, you're in the Les Robinson Invitational, the meaningless game at the front end of this thing that you're probably not going to win. And if you do, you're not going far. They went through everybody to win it.
Yeah.
Fucking amazing.
I think that's their tournament, though. I don't see them going very far.
Sure.
But they're fun to watch. They really are. And I just love that old school in paint play that they have with this big lug that they put in there.
What was the saying? Someone said it was like trying to guard a garbage truck as it backed up to pick up some cans.
Yeah.
Like, good luck on this kid.
It's like you're playing pickup. And, you know, some guy comes out on the court and he's like, you know, 80 pounds overweight. And you go, oh, God. But they give him the ball and he just backs you down and he backs you down and there's nothing you can do.
The big fat guy in pickup with the soft hands and the good touch, he's a nightmare. Because you're right. He'll back you down, little baby hook, and you're like, God damn it, he doesn't miss.
Yeah, it's like, I played at such and such a college, hurt my knee and, you know, gained a lot of weight. But, he's got game.
Right.
You know?
Then you had Long Beach State's coach, Dan Monson, who went Con Air, as I call it, for those that have seen the movie. Basically, people with nothing to lose. He's like, fuck it, let's just go win this thing. They had agreed to part ways, although technically he was probably fired. He's the winningest head coach in Long Beach State history. He had a decent record at 18-13 prior to the tournament? And then he wins their automatic bid?
Well, he's also the guy that built Gonzaga. Mark Few was his assistant.
That's
right. He left Gonzaga to go to Long Beach State. He's been there 17 years, and you're telling me, they had to rush it to fire him before the tournament? Just wait till it's over.
They even asked, they're like, so we still got to fire this guy? And they're like, yes. They're like, yeah, we've already made the decision. We even factored in a possible NCAA tournament run.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, I know. I looked up what he makes at Long Beach State.
What is it?
It ain't what the other boys are making at the bigger schools. It's a nice salary, but still. He was at like 330, and then they gave him a haircut to like 270.
Cool.
So, you know, good for him. And then the story of the weekend had to be this play in the Kent State Akron game. With about how many seconds were left?
Five, 14 seconds left.
Yeah. And Kent State or Akron had just taken a lead. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Kent State took the lead.
By one.
Damn thing. Like Twitter, I have the highlight queued up, Andy. I'm pressing. It's not playing. Okay.
Davis, number one in gold, or the man with the ball.
10 to shoot. Sullinger in the lane. No. Hornby puts it up and in. 6 seconds to go. Kent State a one-point lead. And a foul on Rollins. And it'll be a one-and-one free throw for Akron. No. Why is Rollins fouling?
Julius Rollins did not know time and score.
Poor guy. That was for the automatic bid. And people don't understand Kent State and Akron hate each other. Super rivals.
Yeah, and this kid, Greg Tribble, came up and hit the two free throws. The coach, and you really have to see this video, the coach, Rob Senderoff.
He was great.
Oh, he looks like his head is going to launch off of his body. and you look at it, he's 50 years old. He clawed his way. He didn't play college basketball. He worked as a grad assistant. He was probably 10 years ago, he's making 35 grand a year. He's probably got a young family. And the way it works in college basketball at a school like that, if you make it to the NCAA tournament, they're off your back for a few years. And everything's riding on this kid, Julius Rollins. He's been in his program for 3 years. He's not a freshman. And he looks at him and he goes, oh, my God, you just took food off my table. And now we're in an era where every kid has got his hand out. How much money are you going to give me on anything? How about me? I'm 50 freaking years old.
I know.
And you just stole my kid's college education with a bonehead play.
Yeah, this is the life these coaches sign up for.
Oh, God.
He was great, though, in saying, look, it was just one play in a game full of plays. And, you know, he was great afterwards. Here was a little snippet of Coach Senderoff.
I assume so. He probably thought we were down one instead of up one. Just to answer, to piggyback, because I know you'll all ask, like, the thing that I told him, I didn't tell the whole team, I told him, this is the worst thing. We're all, well, not everybody's an adult. I'm an adult. If this is the worst thing right now, it's probably the worst thing that's ever happened to him right now. But if it's the worst thing that's ever happens to you when you're 50 years old like I am, you've lived a pretty charmed life. So tomorrow the sun will come up. It'll be a little cloudy for me and for our guys. But the sun will come up tomorrow.
So there you go. A classy statement, right?
It is classy, but he's got to be thinking inside. We go over this time and situation every day in practice.
Right.
Every freaking day.
Right.
And this kid, in one situation, you cannot foul there. Right. 5 seconds to go, and he fouls.
But why do these schools get such a rush of just making the tournament, even though they know deep down they're probably not going to make a run?
Because that's a make or break for a school that size. If you make the tournament, that makes your year for the budget. It's you know, that's called a mid-major.
Well, you get certain units, but the league you're in gets another certain unit as well. So it's money you can't budget for because you never know if you're going to make it. If you're a small school or a mid-major.
Right. But I also think that, you know, he's been at that school for a long time.
I think the money is important, Andy, but my answer when I thought about this is just that it makes them feel like we exist. It puts them on a sheet of paper. This is why, hey, Greg Sankey and everyone else, you fucking idiots, if you make this single piece of paper any more teams and you have to flip it over, you've killed it. You've broken it. It's dead. The casual fan will not play. The reason that your dog or the secretary where you work may end up winning the pool is because it's a beautiful single sheet. They'll get in. They'll fill out one sheet. They're not filling out a field of 80 or 96, right?
Right. Well, also, this is why you have the television ratings, because it's the people who fill out the office pools. And they actually made a deal, which was really stupid, some years ago. They pumped their fists in the air. Yes, $1 billion. And now in the rearview mirror, the networks are going, yeah, we got them for $1 billion.
It was $1 billion, but it was till like 2038.
Oh, it's so stupid.
Yeah, they had some morons negotiating the deal. But,
just ridiculous.
Right. Yeah. But that's what's so great. And you know what else it needs to be said? Okay, despite all the buzzwords you're going to hear, these next couple of days, body of work, eye test, strength of schedule, quad one wins. What's this KenPom rating, you know? Remember, people, remember, this is mostly marble racing. If you don't know what marble racing is, go to YouTube and look it up. It is random as fuck. Yes, sure, 10 of the 12 marbles in this race are larger and roll better than the other 52 or whatever it is. But guess what? It's a one-time marble race. We don't know what's going to happen, which is why we love it.
Yeah, exactly. And it fits perfectly. And if they want to mess with it, they want to make it bigger, go ahead. The one real problem...
No, don't go ahead, Andy. Stop giving them comfort to do this.
But here's where college basketball is. We are dominated by the NFL. The NFL over the last 10 years has just gobbled up another month. They used to get out in January. Now they
gobble
get out
up
in
February.
February.
Right.
And now they're going to go to 18 games and they're going to be finished President's Day. So by the time everybody swims to the surface at the end of the Super Bowl and they look up and they go, wow, there's only a week left in the college basketball season. I didn't know what's going on. When does the tournament start?
Okay.
Oh, it starts in 2 weeks? How about that?
I'm glad you mention it that way. And you feel the same way, that the NFL blocks out the sun
everything
for you as a sports fan until it's finally over. I've said this before, and that now, to me, when the NFL ends, Super Bowl's over, it's like I walk out of a very dark room into the bright sunlight, and I'm like wandering around aimlessly for about 2.5 weeks going, all right, well, let me get my bearings here. What teams are good in college hoops? Like, who is there any star players who have been there more than 1 year, you know? And didn't used to be that way for me. The two things existed on simultaneous side-by-side tracks, and they got similar attention. Why is this not the way it is for me and for you? Is it the ESPN factor?
It's that, and it's sports talk radio. It's everything that's you know, NFL works. It just takes up, you know, so much attention. Look, if Shohei Ohtani signing a $700 million contract, that should have been a big deal. It was like, oh wow, that's a lot of money.
I know it's ridiculous. $700 million and completely backloaded, so he can get paid the bulk of it when he's living in tax-free Florida.
Yeah, I mean, I did turn on a Dodger game, a spring training game. Their first three hitters were, Mookie Betts, the guy who was with the Braves for a long time, Freddie Freeman, and then Shohei. That's an all-star game. No, that's their first three hitters.
I know, and they still may not make it to the World Series, much less win it.
Yeah, because of the way baseball used to work, is we had two divisions. You'd have a best of five, and then you played the World Series, which was a big deal. Now, because you have, they got greedy in baseball too. They kept adding playoff teams and adding playoff teams. By the time you get to the World Series, you're fatigued on baseball already. It's NFL's full swing. It's October into November, and nobody watches. More people are watching women's basketball.
Yeah. Fair point on that. Couple of things on the tournament, then we will pivot to football because I want your thoughts on this Justin Field dumping by the Bears for a conditional sixth, and somehow Adam Peters got the Seahawks to pay the equivalent of a late third, early fourth for Sam Howell, which is a gobsmacking unto itself. But before we get to that, a couple of other things real quick. So I want to know, how will you feel about no Packer this year, or no Nance this year? Packer's gone, long gone, passed away even, but Jim Nance not calling the games, will you miss him?
I like Jim Nance, but I'm a bigger fan of Ian Eagle. I think Eagle's great, so I have no problem with it.
Okay, fair enough. And then there's this. I got an email from one Rob Maino, M-A-I-N-O. It says, proud dad moment involving you.
Me, not you.
Not everything's about you, Andy, even though you're my guest today. Zabe, longtime fan from back in my days in Richmond, Virginia. This weekend, while hosting my daughter, who's now 32, and her husband, she asked me for the March Madness song lyrics on the way home from dinner. After a few moments, I realized, oh, that's right. It was your silly lost lyrics that you made up. She was requesting. I said I wasn't sure where to find them, but she reminded me I used to play it every year and assured me it had to be available somewhere online. So after a brief search, I found and played a clip from your previous Milwaukee gig. We listened, we laughed, we repeated some classic lines from back in the day. Moral of the story, never, Zabe, underestimate the impact some of the silliness you share with your kids and our listeners and our kids on a day-to-day basis. They file those memories away to pull out later, and then when least expected, they crop up again. Thanks for playing a part in that memory. Thought you might enjoy. Mix in a few parlays. Gambling is fun. Your friend, Rob Maino.
That's sweet. That's really nice.
So the backstory on the lyrics is the traditional da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, which was written by a composer, Bob Christensen, in 1990 for CBS, when they literally had 4 weeks to stand up a theme song, and there were several other composers going for it, and so he, like, holed himself into his apartment in New York, and he's like, I'm gonna nail this thing. And it's so iconic now, the thought of ever going away from it is crazy, right?
Right. You know what the first one was? Do you know when the first year they used it?
No.
And this is an ending that I don't think they can ever top. This was perfect. This was 1987, and it ended with the Keith Smart shot.
Okay, you're thinking of One Shining Moment.
Okay, what are you thinking of?
No, I'm talking about the theme song.
Yeah.
You know,
right. Yeah, I'm confusing them. I'm sorry. Yes. Okay.
Yeah. This right here is what I'm talking about. Can you hear that?
No.
Okay. You can't hear it. We're on the same pot right now.
But I'm know the song.
It. Yeah. Okay. Yes, all right. Yes, okay. Yeah. So anyway, but no, you're right. The original One Shining Moment was written for football. Did you know?
Yeah, that's right. I did know that. Yeah.
Yeah. And then they repurposed it perfectly that year for college basketball. But anyway, so I always have to give credit, because I hate when I claim, I don't ever want to claim something that I truly didn't think up on my own. Mm-hmm. I got the words, the key words of "come on and watch some basketball," which is just a silly, dumb little thing, but it's hard to fit words to such a staccato run of notes like that. Mm-hmm. I got it from our then colleague Bram Weinstein, who was doing nights at 980, and somebody called and asked him, does that song have words? And he just sort of riffed and was like, I don't think so, but what would it be? Come on and watch some best. And that's all he did. So I said, I got to write a whole song to this, and I got to make up a whole backstory to it. So my backstory was that the great Herb Alpert, trombonist, flugelhornist,
Tijuana Brass
trumpet player, that he went to USC, and he was a huge basketball fan. And so he actually wrote the lyrics, which they stripped from the song and don't use anymore. You know, and I was like writing this thing, and it was hard to write it, but it was like, come on and watch some basketball, you'll watch it all day long, come on and watch some basketball till your pool shit is done. Come on and watch some basketball. It's got it all. Tournament madness, throwing a few parlays. Gambling is fun. Da 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 da. And then there's references to Walton and Wooden, which are dated, to Packer and Nance, which are dated. Then I had to change a lyric calling Coach K as blank. It's a three-letter word that we would sling as insults on the schoolyard, Andy, before it became politically incorrect. So now it's Coach K is lame. Duke really sucks. I'll have to repost those. Just a silly little note. Also, one last thing, and then I swear I'm done with the basketball. I went back and looked, because I thought I had told you before. Remember the years that all five of the D.C. area schools made the tournament? Maryland, Georgetown, GW, Mason, and American.
2001, was it?
No.
It
never happened.
Oh, okay.
They had four 1 year. Glorious year, they had four teams in. And I made a haphazard thing here. Actually, no. No, they had three of the five in three straight years. 2006, they had three. 2007, they had three. And 2008, they had three. But this is only the third year in the last 24 since you and I have been doing a show. The only the third year, including last year, or I'm sorry, 2022 and also 2018. 2018 and 2022, 0-5. Maryland, Georgetown, GW, Mason, American, all out.
Those five, but Howard made it for the second straight year.
Okay, well, fair enough. Howard's great, but I didn't include them.
Okay.
I was just thinking about the five, and maybe American is less significant than Howard. Howard or Maryland or Americans made it three times total in their whole lifetime.
And, Yeah.
And George Mason after 2011 and Larrañaga left, they haven't come close.
No.
They're 0-4 ever since.
Yeah, they had Kim English for a while, and he's now doing a good job at Providence. But yeah, what Larrañaga did was amazing. He really, he's a great coach. And he had a bad year this year, But heck, he made the Final Four last year, and the way he uses the transfer portal, he may be back next year.
Yeah. You know, we're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At MyBookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today. So that brings us to Justin Fields dumped for a sixth rounder that could conditionally float up to a fourth to Pittsburgh if he plays 51% of the snaps behind Russell Wilson. This is one of the most shocking misevaluations of a player's value I can ever remember. Mel Kiper himself on ESPN said back in December he might go for the eighth overall pick to some team, Justin Fields. What happened?
Well, part of it is that one year he can become a free agent after next year, or you'd have to, work out an extension with him.
Well,
that's
hold on.
One part of it.
Hold on. Let me clean that up. May 2nd is when the Steelers now have to decide, do we activate the fifth year option as a first round player? And you know what that option would cost?
$25 million.
So they're definitely not going to do that. So they're going to let Justin Fields walk into free agency right next to Russell Wilson on a one-year deal, walk into free agency. I don't know if this is going to work for Tomlin and the Steelers, but I know this. It ain't never been done in my lifetime.
Yeah, but you also have the possibility that one of them is spectacular and you decide to keep them. And you got the option on either one, and it doesn't cost you anything to get rid of one or both of them.
That would be, I guess, the play. But let's go back to
something else on this. Let me throw this also, because this is the way things are with people's noses getting out of joint. Maybe they are so afraid that if they still have Justin Fields on the roster when they draft Caleb Williams, that Williams is going to be a problem about that.
Oh.
So just to clear the decks, they're getting him out of there.
I have said without any doubt that Caleb's camp has told the Bears, do not keep him around. Not that we're worried about beating him out, but we want to come in somewhere clean. We want to come in where we've got the full support of the organization. We're not a prospect. We are hopefully going to be your franchise QB for the next 20 years.
Right.
So I bet you they demanded it right there.
Yep. And they handled the timing so poorly. I mean, you had the polls, the GM saying, oh yeah, we'll get it done before the combine. Combine comes, we'll get it done before free agency. Free agency opens, he's still there. And they go, oh, this is a problem. Anybody want him? Sixth round pick? Okay, fine.
Yeah. I think I heard reporting early in the cycle that said that they got a second round offer from somebody and they weren't real thrilled. It was like a naked second. Mm-hmm. They should have jumped on the naked second if that was really an offer. But the two things that struck out to me, the ESPN reporter who talked about this was, Poles said he wanted to do right by Justin Fields.
Yeah.
What is this, kindergarten? With all due respect, fuck Justin Fields. He's a player under your control. Okay? Right. Trade him wherever you can get an ounce more of value. Don't worry about that. And that's number one. The number two thing was just the saying of, it would be an untenable situation to have him still there with Caleb Williams. It shows you that no team wants to have the balls to try to force a new quarterback a little bit of uncomfort or discomfort going into his rookie year. Nobody wants to play this. The smartest thing for a sixth would be, well, shit, we're going to keep him because we know that he knows our scheme and you may get hurt or you may not be ready to start. We still want to have a season. We have a pretty good team. So just deal with it. That's what they should have told Caleb Williams, because a sixth-round pick is nothing. It's a bag of kicking tees.
Yeah. I mean, it used to work like the way they did in San Francisco when they took Joe Montana. They had Steve DeBerg on the roster. And Bill Walsh, I mean, now Montana was a third-round pick, so it was a little different. But he looked at him and he said, okay, we're going to play him against teams we know we can beat. Let him build his confidence up. Meantime, I'm going to play DeBerg. And then by year two, he was ready to switch to Montana. You can't do that anymore. The players get angry. They get upset. Their feelings get hurt.
Well, and the media drives it. Do not discount the powers of the Stephen A. Smiths and Skip Bayless's and Colin Cowards, who will just make it a topic every single day. And that's what gets under the skin of these teams. Don't forget, the Bears had to move up to get Justin Fields. With the 8th overall pick, I believe it was. Do you remember what they gave up to go get Justin Fields?
No.
A 2021 fifth round pick, a 2022 fourth round pick, and a 2022 first round pick that was the 7th in the draft. So it's a swippy swap to move up. And they gave up 3 additional picks, and now they ship him out for a 6th. This is called
after they got burned on Mitch Trubisky.
Yes.
They never learn.
Someone went through the recent, attempts at this is our guy, this is our guy, this is our guy. It's like, Krusty the Clown stepping on rakes left and right. Pwang, pwang, pwang. So pretty funny there. So Sam Howell goes to the Seahawks for a move up in 2 different rounds by the Commanders with the Seahawks of pretty good significance, which equated on the trade value chart to a late 3rd, early 4th. How? Why? Explain it.
Because somehow he was able to get a bidding war going. Now, one thing that really helps Hal here is he's not only got 2 years left on a rookie deal, it's a 2-year rookie deal from the 5th round.
Right.
So he is nothing. He costs you absolutely nothing. And he has played 18 games. He started all 17. Durability is something. He got sacked a gazillion times and still didn't get hurt.
Right.
So there's value there.
Right. Just because he's cheap. He's cheap and he's young and he's kind of good at times, but he's not nearly good enough that he's going to have an attitude about, hey, man, why am I not starting? And it doesn't hurt that he played one of his best games at Seattle right in their yard. I remember after that game, I said, Andy, I think this is the guy for you guys. I think this guy's it because he really balled out that day.
I know.
So I guess Seattle decided to buy him.
You pulled the trigger early on a lot of guys over the years. So
wait a minute. I'll pull the tape. You were of the same mindset. You're like, this is our QB1. Yes, you did.
Well, yes. I don't know if I said that long term because I already knew that Ron Rivera was going to get fired. I mean, I said there was an opportunity for that.
Yeah.
But you over the years fell in love with too many different quarterbacks who hadn't proven squat.
I know. I get carried away. Thank God I get carried away. If we didn't get carried away about sports, then what would we get carried away about, right? So Sam Howell deal. I didn't actually put a quarter in your jukebox on the no more FedEx Field thing. What will the stadium for the Commanders be named?
Whatever corporate name they can come up with. They're going to be there probably for another 5 to 7 years. This is not, a quick exit. They don't have a state to play in or city to play in yet. And they're dumping $75 million to clean up the disaster that was left behind by Danny. This was a slum situation where they just trash the place and then go, oh yeah, it's yours now. And they go, oh my God, look at that. The railings fall over. There's sewage leaking out of pipes on fans.
It's bad, yeah.
God almighty, what a mess.
So, all right. So there's no new name yet. No corporate name has been announced. You are agnostic to what it's going to be called.
Whatever they'll sell, they can sell it. You know, they're losing $15 million over the 2 years that they opted out of FedEx. So can they get somebody in there who's going to pay 10 a year? I don't know. I think the naming rights thing is not as lucrative as it used to be. But how about this?
Yeah.
Consider this. When Danny bought the team in 1999, he got the team and the stadium for $800 million. He sold the naming rights for $207 million. So he sold the naming rights for a good chunk of what he paid for the team.
That's incredible.
These guys paid $6 billion, and they're going to maybe get, you know, 10 million a year. You know,
right?
It's amazing.
Yeah. What if it's a really offensive? What if it's not offensive? What if it's a really stupid company?
Like what?
You know, the Tampax.
No, they wouldn't do that.
Just say it. I don't know, Andy.
Yeah, I mean, what company is going to do that? Is it a benefit to put it on a stadium? That'll be, you know, look, the Staples Center isn't Staples anymore. It's Crypto.com or something like that.
Yeah, Crypto.com, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not all American Airlines Arena in Dallas, site of the Final Four, or TD Garden, which is a financial services firm in Boston.
Right.
Detroit is Little Caesars Arena. So yeah.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
They got Illich is from there, so it makes sense.
All right. Andy, great run today. Sorry about my phone crapping out. Is your bracket filled out yet?
No. And I do you fill it out before the play-in games?
Oh, yeah. There's always a first draft bracket. Then there is a right after the play-in games final say bracket. And then there's the bracket I fill out and slip in the pile to cheat and win the pool. Sometime after the Sweet 16. Oh, if it was only that easy. It's not that
yeah,
easy.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll do the office pool. I'll put in one. I'll lose. It'll be okay.
Yeah. All right, Andy. As always, a pleasure, my friend. We'll talk next week.
All right, Zach.
There you go.
When the day that lies ahead of me seems impossible to face.
Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.